We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Riverfront Bengals Show. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm in a really weird and good mood. It's odd being optimistic for Cincinnati sports, like, before the season starts. Like, we always have, you know, always thinking, oh, I mean, they could be good, they could be good. It's weird going into a season knowing, like, no, this is a really damn good team, and this is, like, the second year we've been able to say that. I am your host, Joe Farsing. Below is my good friend, Greg Neiman. Greg, what's going on, buddy?
How are we doing, guys?
We are spectacular. Alongside me is my good friend, I hope yours. And if you guys aren't watching his show, what the hell are you doing? Jeff Charnerful, Strawberry Ice. Jeff, what's happening, my friend?
What's going on, Jared? Thanks for having me on. This is like deja vu. Didn't we do this yesterday on my show, I think?
I think we did, but then again, I might have been hallucinating. I ate some really weird. I thought it was regular mushrooms on pizza, but...
Yeah, well, that happens sometimes.
You never know.
Can't win them all.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, dude. I'm excited, brother. I mean, I'm ready to go. I'm ready for football, man.
Exactly. We're so close. Again, like Greg and I keep talking about, Reds held our attention, and now that the Bengals are close, the Reds are fading back into irrelevancy. So, hey, like that's – you did your job. Well done. Cool.
That's what's funny. Me and my son were talking about that earlier. Like this summer, you know – it seemed like it wasn't that long ago the Bengals played. I'm like, what was different? And Chandler goes, oh, the Reds were good. I'm like, oh, yeah, that helped. Now they're ticking me off, but that's okay. Yeah.
It's you just want one, like, so long as one of the teams are good.
Right.
You just want the other one to be at least relevant enough to kind of bridge that gap. So
right. Well, we had that.
Exactly, exactly. And we're thankful football, for baby. It. Exactly. And then we got crawled. So before we get going here, Greg – if you need to get last-minute tickets for concerts and games, where do you want to go?
Well, I'm going to use a little code, a little Riverfront code. That's what I know. You know, I'm going to use Riverfront.
That is an awesome idea. We partner up here with SeatGeek. They're the easiest to use ticketing second or aftermarket ticketing platform. They score each deal to know if you're getting a good price on it or not. Very simple. You look at a dot, and if it's a green dot, you're getting a good price. If it's a red dot, someone's trying to screw you over. Don't buy it. Tell them to shove off. Our listeners and viewers get $20 off their first ticket price with our code Riverfront. One word. Click on the link in the description in the audio feed or on YouTube as well. So,
what if it's an orange dot? What does orange dot mean? Just
Bengals fans? It's somewhere in the middle. Okay. I mean, you wanted more. If it's orange, like that's heading towards red. I mean, it's the entire spectrum. So, I mean, bright green is an awesome deal, and you better grab them before somebody someone to beat you to it. I need to get tickets to you guys like Bert Kreischer, comedian?
Yeah.
He's playing at Heritage Bank in November, and I need to, unfortunately, I've been a SeatGeek user for a while, so I can't use our own code, but I need to get on there and get some tickets. I'm a loyal customer. These are for new customers. Like this,
yeah, so low you can't use your own code. That sucks.
No. I should be simple for that. Like, I'll keep mentioning SeatGeek, you know, just, you know, try to get more.
Just give me some free stuff.
Right, exactly. Give me some swag. At least give me a code or something.
Joe's got a special code. Don't let him fool you. He's got a special
code. I'm sure he does.
He types his name in. Everything's green. Everything's green.
Joe is special. We know.
Right. It's usually short bus special, but you know how it works. Again, we are now, this is Wednesday. This will be dropping on Thursday. We are a week and a half away from our live show with the Riverfront family. Jeff is going to be there to heckle us, throw peanuts,
absolutely,
drink beers with us. We're at the Stretch on the Banks, East Freedom Way, right near Great American Ballpark on Saturday, September 9th. We're so excited. This is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Then we're going to mosey our way over to the Reds game and probably have to drink a lot to get through at least, you know, 6-7 innings of that. But
you got to get one of those beer bats. Have you gotten one of those yet?
No, but I saw that. I saw, I know you had one and a few other people on,
the bats over there in the corner. Had this. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is huge, gigantic. Like, how many ounces is that?
It held 32? A 16 ounce beer. Now, the thing that I didn't like is you got to buy the bat and the beer. I thought the bat came with beer, but
oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I'm a customer. Yeah.
Yeah. One bad thing is you got to hold the bat the whole time. You can't set it down because it'll fall either way. But still, it's cool. I recommend getting one. Everybody's like, "Where'd you get that?"
It also works for a weapon, though. Too. You get some Cubs fans or Cardinals fans, and you know,
Well, after the game, I went down to the old Riverfront plate and took a couple swings. You know, down under the parking garage.
Oh yeah, there you go.
No, that works. Were there any cars in the vicinity, or were you just, you know?
No. They were staying clear of me. They didn't want to get in front of my power.
They saw a guy with an empty beer bat. Do you think they were driving that way?
No. They're like, we're staying away from that dude.
honey, go ahead and take a right here. We'll go ahead and clear out of this.
He's hitting an imaginary baseball. What the hell's wrong with him?
We're already flying off the rails. This one.
You're welcome.
Again. I have a framework of stuff, you know, points that I want to hit, and it's so hard to try to hit all of those points because it's so easy to get distracted, and like I think we all have ADHD, and it's just squirrel, you know.
Yeah, 6 minutes in, we've lost total control. 6 minutes, that's how long it took.
I think we mentioned the word Bengals once, and that was just when I mentioned the name of the show.
All right, ready? Focus. Go, Joe.
Anyway, we are here for the Bengals. So a little bit of recap about Saturday night's finale of the preseason slate against the Washington Commanders, formerly the Washington football team, formerly the Washington Redskins, and soon to be formerly the Washington Commanders, because apparently the new ownership group is thinking of changing the name yet again. But anyway, do you guys have any?
Well, I heard they might change it back to the Redskins.
I don't know how well that would go over.
Oh, that's kind of what I heard.
I think they should have gone with the Red Tails, but that was, you know.
I like the Pigskins because the hogs. The
hogs, yeah.
And you do the mascot that they had, but it'd be a hog. You know, I don't know. That
makes sense.
That's kind of – it's a stupid name, but it kind of ties into at least the history of what the Redskins had. Anyway, we're not talking Redskins here.
Well, I heard there was a group pushing for them to go back to the Redskins. Like a Native American group.
Oh, really?
But – That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard something about it, but either the Commanders is just a stupid name.
One thing I know, no matter what they change the name to, they'll probably be pretty bad. They're pretty consistent.
Yeah,
they're never really good. They at least have new ownership, but they still have a really shitty field with really crappy turf, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Any introductory thoughts before we dig into any stats or, you know, any battles or anything like that from either of you guys? Jeff, you'll start first.
Just I kind of what you said, the turf and Joseph Osai getting hurt sucks. I mean, at first I thought he was going to miss week one. Now he might miss more than that because it's a high ankle sprain. High ankle sprains, you never know how long that's going to take, and it sucks. But good thing is the first 2 weeks we're playing mostly running teams, you know, Browns and the Ravens. So that's a good thing. But that was my biggest takeaway is, you know, we don't play anybody and we still got somebody hurt because that crappy field.
Yeah.
For me, I kind of thinking along the same lines, but I'm putting my positive hat on. If Joseph Osai were going into the regular season and that's all we've got, As far as major injuries, I'm pretty happy. Burrow is good. We have no appendectomy. There's no, we're good. So I'm happy. I think if we're rolling in looking like this, I feel pretty good.
And breaking news, Joe Burrow is going to play week one. I'm just saying
he made, because Joe Burrow made the roster, I heard.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, yeah.
He was on the bubble. I mean, a lot of people have projected that he might, you know, he might miss out. I mean, Trevor Siemian was putting on a hell of a show. Oh.
Well, people crack me up, dude. It's like, they're like, oh, you think Joe's going to play? I'm like, people, he got his appendix cut out last year. He lost 30 pounds last year. He still played week one.
Yeah.
His calf got hurt July 27th. Or August 30th. It's been a month. Yes, calf strains, they hurt. Trust me. I know they do. It's a calf strain. He's going to play week one. I'm reporting it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be 5 weeks, you know. I mean, today I think is five weeks since it happened.
Right.
It's the fact that they haven't done anything to majorly upgrade the, and you know, we'll get into this when we cover cut day and everything, but the fact they haven't done anything to really upgrade the backup position is like, that's not like he's going to be fine. People need to chill out. Yeah, it's, I mean,
I don't think Jake Browning started week one.
Yeah. I would be really, really absurd concerned if he was starting week one. So,
yeah.
But yeah, whatever. Joseph was like, did get a high ankle sprain on a. A lot of people were upset that he was even playing. I kind of understand that, but then people have complained the last 2 years that no starters have played at all in the preseason. Like, A, he's not even a starter, and B, like, pick a lane. Like, either you want them to play or you don't want them to play. Like, unfortunately, these injuries, you know, suck. But
it's like you damn if you don't. I mean, you know. Yeah. People are gonna be upset that he played. People are gonna be upset that he didn't play. People just want to complain.
Yeah,
it's 2023. It's 2023. You make a decision, no matter what happens, there's gonna be backlash. Either way, it is what it is. Kind of a deal. And I'm not saying it's the right or wrong decision. I trust in the Bengals to do their process because clearly it works. So I have no problems with any of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather that than what the Ravens have done and being so damn proud of their 23-game preseason winning streak and Harbaugh out there going, this is why we play in the preseason. I'm like, yeah, this is also why you've been one of the most injured teams in the NFL the last couple of years, I think, because you play everybody in the freaking preseason on meaningless games. So give me what Zach does. I will take a 99.9% healthy football team going into week one. If they're a little rusty, that's fine.
Yeah.
Agree 100%. The backup quarterback battle was over after one drive. Jake Browning looked really, really sharp on the one drive. 6-6, 77 yards. Touchdown to our good boy Yoshi here.
Yoshi!
He's going to wave to everybody. Hi, guys.
Yes.
and Jeff, I think I said this yesterday. Like, Greg and I are like, we are threatening to make this a Andre Yosivas fan podcast. Like, again, this, I mean, he's the fifth wide receiver, but
dude, he is,
it's like, there's so much to look for a guy that's going to get maybe 30 balls thrown his way the entire season.
Dude, by the end of the year, I mean, if he keeps going on the trajectory he's on, hell, he could be your fourth wide receiver by the end of the year. I mean, if he keeps improving the way he is, I mean, he's impressed the hell out of me. I mean, coming out of Princeton, I honestly thought he was going to be a practice guy, you know, developmental, because he played at Princeton. He's a triathlon. He hadn't, you know, supposedly didn't know the route tree very well.
Yeah.
All the stuff they said, he completely blown all of it out of the water. I mean, he has been by far the biggest surprise for me in training camp.
Yeah, and I'm just drooling about the prospects. Can you imagine four wide receiver sets this year with Higgins and Yoshi on the outside, Chase and Boyd, like, inside, you know, on both run slot routes, and
yeah, who needs a tight end?
Who are you going to cover? Yeah, exactly. You either have empty backfield or, you know, four wide out, one running back, and who are you going to cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, I'm already thinking playoffs with this kid, and I'm thinking when you get to the playoffs, those individual matchups matter so much, and this kid is going to be a matchup nightmare because you're talking about Chase and Higgins and Boyd. I mean, you have to match up with those guys as well. So, you know, he gets what's left. I'm thrilled. And it is a fan club. It's official. This is a fan club. We love it.
But just remember what happened last year in the AFC Championship game. Boyd got hurt. And then Trent Taylor and I couldn't get open. Yoshi, And I love Trent Taylor. That's my dude. I love Trent Taylor. But you can get open. I mean, so that's an upgrade right there, just as far as if somebody gets hurt. That's your probably your maybe probably not your first guy off the bench now, but by the end of the season, he might be.
Yeah.
And some of the totally provides, he provides stuff that some of the other guys can't provide. I mean, when you're going into your, your depth, you're kind of usually stepping down. You're having to scale down. You've got a guy who might not be quick enough to run, to be a slot receiver, or might not have the size to be an outside receiver, and you're just throwing them out there. This is someone who, I mean, he's just about T. Higgins' size. He's like what, 1 inch shorter, roughly. Has a 40-inch vertical, I think.
I think that's what somebody said yesterday on the show. It's 46 or something
that. Yeah, I mean, he
– somebody commented that on the show yesterday,
Maybe they'll let him – I mean, he pole vaulted with the heptathlon, so maybe they'll let him bring his pole vault out there to stick out there. Can you imagine just throwing the ball to the top of the goalpost? No, but you literally can't defend that.
Always no, literally. Always over.
just make sure your feet come down in bounds and, like –
And you have control of the ball. You have to have control of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy six every time. Nobody
He's going to have to one. That's going to be a lot to maneuver. I mean, you got to hold on to the pole vault and the football. But if I'm going to bet on anybody, it's Yosh. I'm in.
Just make sure the ball survives, survives the contact with the ground, and you're good to go.
Yeah,
exactly. You just created a new game there, Joe. Pole vaulting football.
Well, I mean, they've got the what's a slam ball when you got the basketball and the trampolines and everything? So it's you've got the next evolution of basketball. This is the next evolution of football. It's I'm sold.
I would like your idea, Joe. I want to see you do it.
I would like to mark minute 15 as the second time we lost total control. Okay, minute 15. This is time number two.
I think you should do that at the stretch. We just set it up out there in the base. You get a pole vault, and you out there. Greg throws you the ball, and you pole vault up. You got to try to catch it without hurting yourself.
You telling me Yosh wouldn't show up for this? He absolutely would.
Right.
He would be here. He would be like, I'm going to be a part of this.
Yeah, they'll be in Cleveland at that time. Maybe we should, maybe we'll have to do another live one earlier in the season, earlier in the week. And like, hey, show us how it's done, Chief.
I think Joe just takes the spot. You just do it. You do it for everybody. It was your idea.
Well, he's going to have Joe's going to have to sign an injury waiver. No question about it.
There's make sure no doubt.
I don't want to show up the athletes. I mean, these are guys that are, they make millions of dollars on their physicality and being in shape. And just, some older dude in his 40s. I don't want to show them up and make them feel bad.
That's
fair. You see what happened? I mean, John Ross's career absolutely went to shit because Marvin Lewis crushed his self-confidence and messed with him in the head. And I don't want to be the one to blame for this. So, I respectfully decline.
You're taking one for the team. We understand, Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, back player. To the backup quarterback battle. after Jake Browning played one series, drove him for a touchdown, Trevor Siemian took over, and he played better than he had in any of the other games until the last drive right before the end of the first half when I don't know what he was trying to throw outside of purposely trying to throw the ball to Washington's defense. Just a terrible decision, a terrible throw. It's almost like he had that thought right before he released, I shouldn't be throwing this and try to pull it down. But those are decisions that you can't have. I mean, you can't have, whether he's starter, backup, whatever. And, if that didn't convince, if Jake Browning playing one series and, for a quick, easy touchdown didn't convince you, that right there convinced you that he's gone. I think him playing as deep as he did into the game was just him putting film out there. He told the Bengals he had no interest in being on the practice squad. So I think they knew that going in, like, hey, listen, if this, go south, do you want to keep playing just to try to put up more film for the other teams out there? So I'm still just disappointed by the Trevor Siemian experience. Sounds like some 80s or 70s 80s progressive rock band, but I mean, this is a guy who's he's had a lot of starts, had a handful of starts. He's bounced around the league. Like, he's played in games and in actual NFL regular season games, and you'd expect someone that just had more, let's say, poise, that someone that just had the feel of an actual, of an NFL quarterback. And he never felt that he felt that way. It seemed like a you know, freshmen being thrown in at the end of a game, you know, in mop-up duty in a college game. They just run around. They're just trying to make stuff happen because he's not prepared or not, you know, not ready. He doesn't see, you know, that doesn't see things properly. Doesn't hit progressions. I don't like, what do you guys say?
I was hoping Jake Browning would win the job, but I don't know that I can classify this as him winning the job. I think it was just kind of by default. But good for Jake Browning. I'm happy for him. But I just wish that it would have been more of, not that it wasn't a slam dunk, but more of a slam dunk because Jake Browning was so much more impressive, rather than what we're, the state we're living in of Trevor Siemian. That was just downright atrocious. And it was by default that Jake Browning kind of got this job.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. I mean, I actually thought Jake Browning played better last year in the preseason. I mean, yeah. And I was with you. I was kind of rooting for him. I like Jake Browning. I like that the wide receivers go to Jake Browning during the game and talk to him about what he's seeing and different stuff. So he's respected as far as that goes. So I'm with you. I was kind of rooting for him. I am disappointed the way he played. And I agree that I don't think he actually won it. It's just he was the least worst, I guess, of the two players. Now, it does concern me. They got Greer now, and he's got to learn the system. There's a chance. I mean, this competition isn't over yet. I mean, he comes in, learns the system. I mean, Greer I doubt by week one, but maybe week two, week three, maybe Greer could be your number two quarterback, depending on how quickly he learns the system, which isn't bad. I like Greer. I think he's a very athletic quarterback. I like what I saw with the Cowboys. I mean, I think if they wouldn't have traded for Trey Lance, he would have been their third string quarterback. So I think it's a good pickup for the Bengals go. So, but yeah, Trevor Siemian, that I was surprised how bad he played, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I thought he'd come in and be a solid backup QB. Cause I mean, I don't want to say I've been a Brandon Allen apologist, but I've always been like, Brandon Allen's okay. You know, he's not a great backup quarterback. He's okay. He's not as bad as everybody thinks he is. And I think we just showed that by seeing Trevor Siemian, you know, this is what we had. Now, Jake Browning, I think, is the third stringer at 49ers now. So, yeah. Like I said, I'm happy for Browning. I like they got Greer. Yeah, I was disappointed in Trevor Siemian. I was kind of surprised of how bad he played, to be honest.
I was happy that Browning went out and had, you know, played well. He only played one drive, but he played well. He was sharp. The throws were, you know, the throws were on target in rhythm. And that you can at least say, hey, listen, he did, you know, yeah, for the body work, he didn't win the job so much as Siemian lost the job, but he went out in the final, you know, the final prove it game and at least appeared like he, you know.
Yeah, let's play. They both looked
control.
That was both their best games. I mean, that was still his best game he played. That's where I was kind of surprised that they did cut it because he did look better. He still looked great. That's where I was. I mean, I was, and that was what it did surprise me because I'm like, all right, who are they going to get? So I guess they had, honestly, this is a thought for, all right. So since the Cowboys traded for Lance, do you think that changed the Bengals' mindset, like, hey, they're not going to keep this kid, Greer. We possibly could cut, you know, Trevor Siemian or Browning and pick this guy up. I mean, you think that might come into the Bengals' process there?
I think that might have been a punch to the little punch to the stomach because I think they were expecting Brandon Allen to be cut loose.
True. Yeah. That might be more of the thing.
And Allen, like, he's their third quarterback, but mm-hmm. you know, he did make their 53-man roster. So, you know, at least as of now, and I just saw waiver claims and everything went through. Bengals didn't pick anybody up, but
yeah. So I saw it too. So no Kuntz, which that sucks.
Yeah.
Which I don't think
Bailey Zappe went. Yeah. Bailey Zappe went unclaimed by everybody, which is weird, yeah. But nobody claimed any Bengals either. So again, we'll get into that when we get down to the rosters and everything, but I don't know. Was that a guy that maybe they were targeting all along or, you know, or is it just someone that, yeah, when Cowboys traded for Lance and like, okay, well maybe this is a guy we can look for. Because he wasn't subject to waivers because he's a vested veteran. So,
yeah, I thought that was a reactionary move. Not that that's a bad thing, but that's just kind of how I saw it. I think it was a reactionary move, not a forward planned move.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm like, I wonder if that because I mean, like I said because Trevor Siemian to me didn't play that bad that you're going to cut him. I mean, I mean neither one of them played great, so that's why I was just kind of surprised that they did cut him. That he played so bad that they're like, oh my God, there's got to be somebody, you know, else that's better. Which I mean, you know,
I do think that Trey Lance trade is begins the clock on Dak Prescott's last days in Dallas. and there's, I'm convinced of it. Dak Prescott's owed like $62 million is his cap hit next year. If they aren't in the Super Bowl or making major noise this year, which I don't see Dallas doing, Dak Prescott's out and they're going to start the Trey Lance regime and people can be excited about it in Dallas. But I think you'll see Dak Prescott as a free agent next year.
Which is interesting because Trey Lance is not look good. You know, that's where no. I'm like, how, I mean, and he's going to be the, he's going to be the third string quarterback there. I think, I don't think he's going to be over.
Rush.
Yeah. Rush.
Cooper Rush. So,
yeah. So how is he, I guess, how are they going to see his development and how much development is he going to get that they're like, oh my God, you know, we're definitely going with this guy. Cause you know, he's third overall pick. He's a bust.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, how much of a bust is he though? Cause he never got a chance. Like he played a few games and was hurt. Like it's not like he was God awful. He didn't look like Akili Smith wandering out there without, you know, reading the playbook. He just never got a chance. I mean, the Niners have played this so weird. I mean, they traded three picks for the guy to go up to the third. Can you imagine if they had picked Chase or they wouldn't have gotten Pitts because they already had
it's a different draft.
Do you know the three players those picks ended up being? Jalen Waddle.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle.
Oh, yeah.
They got Jalen Waddle with the first-round pick. They traded that first-round pick to get Tyreek Hill from Kansas City. And then they traded the other first-round pick for Bradley Chubb. Those are the three first-round picks. I mean, thank God the Niners made that trade. Because can you imagine their roster if they didn't trade for Trey Lance? Oh, my God. Well, that would be disgusting.
The funny thing,
just, already.
I don't think the Niners get enough heat for that trade. I mean,
they're starting to now. I think they're you're starting to see a lot. You know, like, yeah, they
gave up a hell of a lot in 2 years. Yeah. You traded them for they got a fourth round pick for him.
Yeah.
Fourth round. I'm like, if that was the Bengals, they would have got freaking ripped.
Yeah.
Yo, no doubt. I saw a stat that the Niners paid Trey Lance $262,000 per regular season pass attempt. $262,000 per pass attempt.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, I take it if you can get it.
And yeah. Again, I think they're making a mistake going with Brock Purdy. Again, I think that's lightning in a bottle. The guy has no outstanding traits. He's a good leader, like a great leader, and had a good stretch of games. But he doesn't have a strong arm. He doesn't have it mobility. They had a great offensive line and playmakers, and he played well, especially as a rookie. But man, they're hitching up the wrong horse.
I think this is all Kyle Shanahan's ego saying, I don't need the reason our offense is good is me. It has nothing to do with the quarterback. I can take Mr. Irrelevant, which he did. I mean, I can give him credit. Take Mr. Irrelevant and go win the Super Bowl. I mean, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but you know, that's an NFC Championship game. Yeah. That's just what I think. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry.
My bad. I think it depends on when you're judging them, how you look through the scope. I think that the Niners are saying exactly what Jeff's saying, is that it doesn't matter about the quarterback position. We're going to be so good everywhere else. We're going to put a quarterback on a rookie contract and we're going to load out the rest of our roster. And just look at their offense, George Kittle, McCaffrey. You got Brandon Ayuk. You've got Debo Samuel. I mean, you are loaded. And then that's not even referring to their defense, which is ridiculous. I mean, they're loaded everywhere else. Yeah, they're loaded everywhere else, and they're gonna pay Brock Purdy $400,000. And I think when his rookie deal is up, I think they'll move on from Brock Purdy, and I think they'll draft the next guy. I don't think they're in it for a long term quarterback.
So they're trying to do the quarterback like everybody else does running backs.
Yeah, that's what I think.
No, I mean that's what it looks like. Now, is Nick Bosa, has he reported to camp yet? Because he was holding out. I haven't heard if he's back yet.
I haven't heard on that issue.
No.
I mean, the thing is, you say all that. Well, then they didn't have a quarterback in the NFC Championship game, and look what happened. So,
yeah.
I hate the 49ers. When I was a kid, they beat us for the Super Bowl, and that's twice, and that's why I refuse to call Joe Burrow Joe Cool, because that's Joe Montana's name, and I hate that guy. So, I'm all for the 49ers sucking the rest of their godforsaken lives. I can't stand the 49ers. So I hope their quarterback, they keep going through and they suck. To be honest, I can't stand the 49ers. So the more they suck, it's better for me. Everybody's like, don't you want to face them in the Super Bowl? I said, sort of, but no, I don't even want them to even sniff the Super Bowl. I want them to just go away. I'm so tired.
That's how everyone's saying, like, all they need, you know, to completely vindicate the Bengals, they need to beat the 49ers. I don't care who they could beat the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah.
As long as they're lifting the Lombardi, that's all I care about.
I don't care.
It could be a forfeit. I'm going to be running through the streets of Florence, Kentucky, butt naked. I mean, it don't matter. I don't care.
Thank you for the warning.
We'll be like, I don't know that guy.
I do not care.
I will definitely be doing a victory lap around my car saying that's what I do after every Bengals win anyway. I'll be doing a couple of them. We win the Lombardi this year.
Right, exactly. Let me pull back into the station and get back on track.
Choo-choo.
I thought Chase Brown ran as well as he's run all preseason. He kept really great balance after contact. Not a ton of holes, but he was, when he found him, he kind of exploded through them. And he showed a lot that I don't think we'd really seen a lot of to this point. He was the only running back that's on the roster that played Evans. I forget if Evans was sick or whatever. And Chris Evans didn't play a snap, and obviously Mixon didn't play any. But
Evans did play; he just didn't play the last game.
No, that's what I mean. I'm talking about. I'm talking about
Saturday night. Yeah,
Washington game. Yeah,
I got you.
So, but yeah, I thought Chase Brown looked like a competent NFL running back, where he kind of shown in fits and starts a little bit in the first two games. So, I'm feeling feel more comfortable. Again, I don't know how the actual chart's going to shake out, who's going to be the backup, you know, who's going to be the third down running back and things like that. I think they'll all get time, and who knows what's going on. I guess Travion Williams is completely healthy, and they just kept him. Bengals love them some Travion Williams, and he's fine, but
I don't know. I'm a big Travion Williams fan. Once he's got opportunities, he's looked good. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And the thing is, Chris Evans, this could be a big year for him because they didn't cut him. You know, there's no established number two running back. I think it's going to be, I really do think it's going to be running back by committee, especially at the beginning of the season. So this is Travion and Evans and Chase, but this is their opportunity to go out there and grab that number two or number one, depending on how Mixon does, because he is on the backside of his career. Well, however you want to look at it. I love Joe Mixon, but facts are facts. So that's how I think this whole running back situation is going to start out. It's going to be running back by commission. Whoever got a hot hand is going to be out there. Whoever is blocking good, that's who's going to be out there. So it's still, the competition is not set yet, I don't think.
Yeah, totally agree.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, the actual pecking order. It's going to be who's blocking best is who's going to be the third down running back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but to be honest, Chris Evans, I mean, how many of us saw him, you know, making the 53-man cut when this all started? I don't know that I would have bet my money on him making the 53-man roster. So hopefully,
it's like I always had him, Chase Brown, Travion. if you keep four running backs, yes, I'll put it that way. If you're keeping four, that was my caveat, because I thought Travion was going to make it. I thought Chase Brown was going to get the draft and mix it. It just depended if you're going to keep four or not. So yes, I'll point to that one still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. I'm looking back our episode that we did a few weeks ago, and I didn't have Chris Evans making the 53-man roster. I actually had Simeon making it too, so I totally botched that one up.
But I mean, that thing is, dude, Evans, I'm happy. I want to see what this kid. I know what he can do. We all know what he can do. We want to see him do it consistently, because if he can do what we all know he can do consistently, that's another freaking weapon that the Bengals have, and they really haven't been able to utilize it. Either he doesn't know the playbook, he doesn't block well enough, whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
If he can actually get it all and put it together on the field this year, that's a hell of an upgrade, because he can catch better than Mix can. He can catch better than Samaje did. I mean, he see what he does after he catches the ball. None of the running backs can do what he can do, I don't think.
Nobody can run routes like he, and you can split him out wide and line him up against the quarterback, and he's still going to create some separation.
Yeah, I'm a huge Chris Evans fan. I'm hoping for him. Go ahead, Greg.
He's the girl you go out with, and you're like, okay, I really want to go out again. We didn't get everything done. You know, I want to go out again. And then you just never hear from her. You know, you're like, we don't get to see it. We're finally going to get to see the second act. We're going to get to see all the things. That's how I feel about Chris Evans. I've loved him since day one. I mean, out of the backfield, making catches, even lining up as a receiver at times, you know, splitting out He's looked really good. So I'm ready to – we're ready to go all the way with Chris Evans. Let's see what he's got. We want to see all of his abilities because he does have a lot of talent, and I'm super excited to see him play.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be the best pass-catching running back we've had since James Brooks. I mean, Gio was – don't get me wrong, Gio was good too. But James Brooks was elite. I might be dating myself. I think you guys old enough to remember James Brooks.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. But James Brooks was an elite pass catcher out of the backfield. Yeah. And that's how I see Chris Evans. It's just hopefully that he can stay on the field long enough to actually show that.
Yeah. It's kind of like it never came out, like never really heard much of how he ended up in the doghouse, but clearly he was in the doghouse last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got completely taken off of but like last year was completely taken off of kick return and got leapfrogged by everybody on the depth chart. For running the ball. So it'll be interesting to see because I think the starting job in 2024 is wide open. I think they assume that Chase Brown is the heir apparent, but you got a year to kind of state your case. So,
all right.
Back to Saturday's game. Bo Jackson's nephew, Shedrick Jackson, opened a lot of eyes, 3 catches, 56 yards, touchdown catches wide ass open. And sometimes those are the hardest catches to make.
The DB just stopped covering them.
Yeah, it was – passed off coverage to nobody.
Right. I don't – it was like that. So. That I was watching Kyle Kasky last on his clicker on and he said this is the easiest touchdown in Bengals history. And I'm watching one. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Tyler Boyd had that last year and completely dropped a – was that the Chiefs game, I think?
I don't remember.
It was one of the important games. He was wide ass open. Like nobody, like completely blew the cover.
Well, Trent Irvin was like that last year in the Browns game for that flea flicker. He was wide ass open and he caught that thing.
Yeah. So
is it bad when I see a wide open touchdown like that? My mind, my soul, my body goes back to 90s Bengals, and I was just man, did we just give up a wide open touchdown? No, wait a minute, we scored it. Okay, we're good.
I get deja vu the other way.
Yeah, I get flashbacks.
Yeah,
the 90s Bengals would not only not make the catch, they'd somehow bat it to a defensive player 30 yards away, and he'd pull a hamstring or tear.
We pulled off like Madden glitches. You'd be like, "How is this possible? How is this possible?"
Exactly. God, that's not anymore. I'm so happy.
I think we have to deal with that letting Marvin go, let go of all the bad, let go of so much bad juju.
You guys, sir. What was the one first game of the season against the Denver Broncos?
Brandon Stokely.
Oh my God, I still remember that one. I'm like, how the hell did it pop straight up in the air and land right in Stokely? I'm like, we actually had that last year in the Patriots game. That happened last year, but we came back.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. Yeah.
But we overcame it and won the game.
Yeah. Because of the last minute. Like, they almost blew that game.
Yeah, I still remember that Brandon Stokely. And then he was the one guy in the NFL smart enough to run across the goal line.
Yeah,
so that he would milk out every last second. Every second. There's any way this can get worse, just go ahead and kick me in the balls. Because, I mean, it was brutal.
That was open to season, too. I remember that. Literally how we lost the damn game. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Great, great harbinger of how the year is going to go. Looked really good. You're going to beat the Broncos, and we lost.
Not so much.
How do you walk away from that game going, well, the season's over. We're done. You're 0-1. You're like, it's over.
Football gods hate us. Defensive line looked really, really good again. The depth looked fantastic. Raymond Johnson III was all over the field. He had a sure handle. Like, it was one, they dropped him into coverage, which good to see him like trying out, seeing how he does drop into coverage. Tackled a running back in space in the flat. Dominic Davis, 8 tackles and a sack. Owen Carney with another sack. Jeff Gunter with a sack. Again, all these guys, these are all guys that ended up getting cut, but nobody claimed them. So I'm curious to see how many of these guys end up on practice squad because I guarantee at least 2, if not 3 of those guys will be back, especially with the extended or with the expanded practice squad.
Right.
Miles Murphy was unspectacular, but when you actually look at the video, he played a lot better and he shows a lot of ability. His get off the snap is ridiculous. It's him just figuring out he's just going to have to spend a lot of time working with Marion Hobby and the defensive line coach to figure out how to transfer those raw ability into pass rush moves. And with Osai missing at least, you know, one game, possibly, you know, who knows what's going to, you know, if they're going to end up putting him on IR and miss four games or what the plan is, but he's going to be pushed into more into the rotation a lot earlier because he probably would have been inactive, but he's definitely going to be active now since Osai is going to be gone at least the first couple weeks.
Yeah,
go ahead, Joe. You're good.
Well, I'll just say, yeah, some people come at me like, oh, do you think Miles Murphy's a bust? I'm like, dude, he's played three or two preseason games. He didn't play the second week. So I'm like, there is a reason he dropped. I mean, let's be honest. There is a reason he dropped, but there is a lot of raw talent there. And nobody I'd rather have him in the hands of than Marion Hobby. I think because Marion Hobby is a magician. So he's going to come around. You know, it might not be eye popping right, you know, right off the bat, but we don't necessarily need that. You know, we got Trey Henderson, we got Sam Hubbard, we got Joseph Osai, whatever, he's healthy. We got enough guys for him to come along and develop slowly. As long as he's on it by, you know, November, December, and we got a really good rotation, which is what I think all of us want, is that rotation going.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
I think it depends on how you look at the draft pick. If you want the Bengals to draft somebody in the first round that's going to be an immediate help, be a starter from day one, that's not Miles Murphy.
And you're not getting that 28 probably either.
Right, exactly. You're at 28. When you win a lot of games, you have to get creative. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bengals did a great job of getting creative with Miles Murphy. He's going to go into a role where he doesn't have a whole lot of pressure. He doesn't have to perform for us to win. It'd be nice. It'd be a nice addition. But I think they're just going to slowly bring him along. And what I think I see is that every single time he comes out, it's like there's one trait that got kind of honed in. And that's what I'm seeing. They're honing in this trait. Next week, they'll hone in this trait. And they're just going to continue to check off those boxes. And this first-round pick will look like a steal when he checks off all those boxes. And that could be a year from now, could be a year and a half from now. But it works perfectly in unison with the Bengals' timeline of what they need from him. Right. So I love this draft pick. The people that are calling it a bust, I think, is just some of the most ignorant things on the planet. I think he's going to work perfectly for what the Bengals are doing. The more I've seen it, the more I like this draft pick. And, of course, you know, I wanted Michael Mayer and I wanted the Northern Kentucky guy. But I love this draft. I'm starting to love this draft pick, and I think it's heading in the right direction. Patience is a virtue.
Well, yes. A lot of these are the same people that were saying that Ja'Marr Chase was a bust because he had issues with
catching the ball.
With his hands in his first. Like, just there's a huge, like, just the culture and, like, just a huge change between college and NFL. Some guys pick it up immediately and run with it. Like, awesome. But
it's also a big jump. It's a huge jump. I don't care if you're playing high Division I college football. You go Division I football, you got some guys that are NFL players. You're literally going to the NFL where all those guys you're playing against were the best, probably the best player on their high school team, one of the best players on their college team, all of them, you know? So it's a big jump. That's what I don't think people understand how big a jump that is. And it takes a little while for some guys. It just does.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still can't wait to see him. I guarantee, because with his size, I mean, he's a large-bodied defensive end. I mean, he's 6'5", 275. Dude, and he has so no you know fat. He's going to be moved. What's that?
He has no body fat. I mean, he's like an hourglass. ridiculous.
Having them move him inside on passing downs with his quickness.
I see that a lot, to be honest, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they do that with Hubbard, and he's has five times the pass rush moves as Sam Hubbard. I love Sam Hubbard, but he's not a pass rusher. He's a run stopper who can, you know, I can provide push.
I can't wait to see Murphy and Hubbard on the inside and Osai and Trey on the outside. That's what I can't wait to see.
Yeah, or give Hubbard a blow and put Zach Carter again. I'm high on Zach Carter hype train. Mm-hmm. I think that he's going to have a really good season. If he and BJ Hill can replicate what BJ and Ogunjobi did in 2021.
That's what we need.
I think that's going to just the inside push. It's going to provide more sacks for Henderson. Henderson was as productive last year in terms of pressure rate as he has been the last few years, but he wasn't able to translate those into sacks because there wasn't as much push. So the guys, they just had to step up in the pocket or, you know, they could escape. You get that push up the middle and somebody's getting the sack. whether
if Trey Anderson's preseason is any indication of what his season is going to be like, it's going to be a Pro Bowl season for Trey.
Yeah, watch out. Season.
Yeah, he had, what, 7 sacks against the Packers just in the one practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One last note about Miles Murphy. We had him in the shop to do an autograph signing, and he was just a super down-to-earth, really nice guy. And that matters to me. I think if you're a first-round pick coming in and you kind of walk in, you know, like, you know, your shit don't stink and I own this, that scares me a lot. Mm-hmm. And Miles Murphy he was super down-to-earth guy, very level-headed. Like, I really liked what I saw from him, especially for, I don't want to call him a developmental first-round pick, but he's going to have to develop some. That's the kind of attitude you have to have. And I think that's the kind of thing people forget about sometimes is you can draft solely on talent, mm-hmm. and it means you can miss every single time. You have to have the right mentality to play in the NFL because it's every single play. And you're going to be judged on every single play. And some guys just can't handle that.
And that's what the Bengals have done a lot. They drafted not only talent, but character.
Yeah.
The character has been Battle. Huge. Yes, Jordan Battle. The character on all these players, they're looking for a certain type of player, which is great, not to bang on Marvin Lewis, but Marvin Lewis basically drafted you solely on talent and didn't give a crap about your character. Zach and Duke have totally flipped that. And character is more, I would say, almost more important than your athletic ability because just of how this team is structured and how they work. And like you said, he comes in to your shop there, and if he's all cocky and stuff, those guys think they already got the job. When you're coming in humble and stuff, you're willing to work. And I've seen him firsthand down there at practice. Him and Marion Hobby are working on stunt moves and everything. And he's focusing on what Marion Hobby's saying and working on, you place your foot here, put your arm here. Awesome. Those are things that if you think you already know it all, you're like, all right, and you kind of just half-ass go through it. He's not doing that. I've watched him really work on it. So that's where he's going to work out. It just might not be the immediate impact that we all were hoping for at first.
Right. And the main thing that Zach has stressed is culture. Mm-hmm. So again, not only is he drafting guys and bringing in guys that number one thing, the first 5 things on their mind, the second they wake up is football. And that's, I mean, that's the guys they have. These are also guys that are out there helping, like teaching their teammates.
Yep.
Again, I talked about this before, but, Michael Thomas, the safety who ended up getting cut the game in Washington, he took his jersey off, put it on Tyson Anderson's chair and said, hey, basically, I mean, literally and symbolically passing the torch. Like he knew that he was going to get waived. He knew Tyson Anderson beat him for the job for the fourth safety. And he's still out there teaching him, still out there helping him take his job. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that guy is still in the building, that he's going to be on the practice squad.
He's going to be a coach someday, I guarantee. Oh,
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys, I mean, Mike Hilton, same thing. I mean, mm-hmm. Jalen Davis, if you saw a couple of the run stops that Jalen Davis had against Washington, those are Mike Hilton run stops. Those are Mike Hilton plays splitting the split to the blocker, finding the gap and busting through the line and tackling the running back behind the line of scrimmage. Like, well, these are guys, these are the guys that they're bringing in.
So it's even the new guys. If you watch the what they call it, Enter the Jungle, Welcome to the Jungle, whatever it was, the video.
From the Jungle?
Yeah, that. But if you watch Orlando Brown, where he was working with Cordell Volson, Orlando Brown just got here, literally. Yeah. And he's already working with Cordell and other guys. It was Jackson Carman. Jackson Carman on trying to help him get better and stuff. And he just got here. That's the character that the Bengals, from drafting to free agents to whatever, those are the guys that they're looking for. And they've consistently
the best teams are always made up of players that are happy no matter who makes the play.
Right.
You know, when you have the teams where it's like, oh, I didn't get enough balls, or I didn't get enough of this, I didn't get enough snaps, I'm not. If you get 53 good employees that enjoy each other's success, you're gonna be good. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I think the Bengals have that kind of mentality going on right now. It reminds me of a Junior Seau quote where he talks about, his career, the Hall of Famer, of course. And he was talking about his career, and he says, I get paid to practice. I play for free. I play for fun. That's the easy part. He's like, right. I get paid these millions of dollars to come out, you know, Monday through Friday to practice. And I feel like the Bengals kind of have that mentality a little bit of they come out Monday through Friday, they put in work, and when they get there Sunday, it's go enjoy it. You know, the hay is in the barn, so to speak. Let's go play football. And, I love every part of it.
I think they found out after medical test that that was actually the CTE talking. I'm sorry, too soon.
Too soon, too much. The thing is, too, is once you put that work in, Greg, the game is easy. I mean, the game is never easy, but as easy as it can get, because they don't have to think about it. They've done the work. They know what's coming. Or not know what's coming, but they know, all right, you're doing this. Okay, we're going to do this. You know, they're prepared. What's that?
You're not thinking. You're just right. It's instinctual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where the Bengals are at on Sundays now.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bengals have enough talent. If they just have their guys in a mode where they're just playing free flowing, just watch out. I mean, because the Bengals have a loaded roster and it's made up of really good guys, and nobody cares who makes the play. So it's going to end up in somebody's lap. It's just who, you know, it's going to change every play, and nobody cares. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, we keep saying, we keep talking about the 53-man roster and all this stuff. Dude, we're nitpicking our backup quarterback and a tight end.
Right.
It ain't starting right guard. It ain't starting right tackle. That's how loaded this team is.
Yeah.
No, I'm here for it.
Let's delve into the 53-man here. I'm going to pull up the roster here and left side of your starter backups and the guys on the right of the guys that were cut. This is the roster pretty much as of now. It doesn't have I don't have Will Greer's name on there as he's on the practice squad. I don't think anyone else who's been cut has actually. I'm sorry, Alan George re-signed to the practice squad, which is a good. I think that's a good fix. He's had a couple years in the Bengals system. Didn't look good in a couple of the games, but again, games versus practice.
Practice, he looked really good. I always say that. Games.
And the team really likes him. That was more of DJ Ivy just went out and had seventh rounder went out and won a job. He looked really good. Where's the weak spot? The only concern is the wrong word. The only spot where it's kind of a little bit of an unknown is the safety, only because there's two new starters, but these are starters that were high quality players at their, you know, the last time they were starters. So it's more of making sure the transition is smooth. Where's the weak spot? Where do you guys see a weak spot?
I'm worried tight end. That's my biggest concern. Cause if Irv Smith doesn't stay healthy, you got Wilcox, you got Sample as your backups. That's more of a concern than the safeties, to be honest. Yeah. And tell you what, we don't use the tight end very much, but still, you got to have somebody out there who can catch and block. You need somebody who can be healthy.
That's my thing. Is that really a concern, or is that just a weak position group?
A concern, because if Smith gets hurt, then you were where last year, which worked, but can it work again? Because Wilcox and Sample are not starting tight ends. They're not.
Right.
I do think that the Bengals are better equipped to play without a tight end this year, obviously with the offensive line being improved. So I do think it's more likely. But tight end for me scares me the most as well. But also tight end could be a super asset. If Irv Smith Jr., everybody just kind of forgets. CJ Uzama signed a damn $30 million contract with the Jets.
Right.
Hayden Hurst just made a ton of money. These are guys that before the moments with the Bengals and Joe Burrow were worth not a whole lot. I know Hayden Hurst was a first round pick, but he was a first round pick that was starting to bounce around the league at tight end. So Joe Burrow makes magic out of tight ends. And I think Irv Smith Jr. is a wildly talented tight end who just hasn't been able to stay healthy. This is not a Bengals offense where Irv Smith Jr. is going to have to do a bunch of dirty work.
No.
So I think it's very possible that Irv Smith Jr. can stay healthy throughout this year and put up extraordinary numbers with Joe Burrow and the weapons that are on the outside. If you forget about Irv Smith Jr., which is the first thing as a defensive coordinator I would do, I would forget about Irv Smith and worry about some other weapons. Mm-hmm. My gosh, this dude will be able to feast.
I completely agree with you, Greg. That's what I said. I think Joe Burrow is going to make Irv Smith a lot of money as long as he stays healthy. And the thing that what I like that Irv Smith can do that we haven't had is he can break out wide. And that's going to be I don't know if they'll do it or not because we don't use the tight end that much, but that is something he can do that we haven't had before. So if he stays healthy, he's going to go get his bag somewhere else, just like CJ did, just like Hayden Hurst is. My concern is staying healthy. That's the biggest thing.
And if we do get to Drew Sample, no tight ends. We're done. No tight ends on the field. Empty set. We are not putting Drew Sample on the field. Gosh, that is I can't watch him. I'm sorry.
Jackpot likes an empty set anyway. So
yeah,
he's completely fine for as a blocking he's a good blocking good blocking tight end.
Which I don't know that the Bengals necessarily need, but the other position group I wanted to touch on was in a positive note. Was the secondary. I mean, if you would have told me going into the season, I would feel like this, especially about our corners with Awuzie, coming off. I really was super concerned about the corners. Safety play, I feel like you can sort of plug and play at safety. Corner, you're on an island. And I mean, you can be on an island at any moment. There's like four or five corners that I love on this roster. I'm super excited for our secondary.
And Chino has looked, I mean, he has looked ready to go since minicamp. I mean, I've not one time seen him have a knee brace on, which I find shocking, and he's been doing drills and running fine. I mean, he's back. I think he's going to play week one. I don't know for a fact, but it looks like he plays some. I don't know if he'll play the whole game, but he's looked like he hasn't missed a beat. And I can't wait to see DJ Drago. I'm excited to see him. And I think this is what I'll say. Yeah, Juan Drago. I think we got one of the fastest secondaries in football right now. Absolutely. We got a track team out there, guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, Dex ran a 4.3. DJ Turner ran a 4.2. Cam Taylor-Britt was a 4.3. DJ Ivy was a 4.3. Mike Hilton doesn't matter. Like, Mike Hilton isn't fast, but Mike Hilton also, like, you don't mess with Mike Hilton. Like, no, Mike every Hilton's single Bengals fan living will absolutely eviscerate you if you try to talk anything dirty.
Now, about I got a question for you guys. Do you think Battle will be the starter over Mike Scott by the end of the year? This is what I say. I say he's going to get starter snaps, but I don't know if he's necessarily going to be the starter. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think kind of nobody ever uses this for safety, but I think it'll be kind of by committee, running back got by committee. I think it'll be like, it'll be safety by committee in a sense.
They're going to be interchangeable. They all can play.
Yeah, I think you'll see all of them get snaps, and I'm happy about that. I think when you can stay fresh on defense, it makes a world of difference, of difference, and you can really wear teams down. The Bengals have the ability to stay fresh at every position, every position.
Right, and that's what one of the problems was in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Our defense started getting tired. As long as everybody stays healthy, we're not going to get tired. We got enough guys who are good enough backups to take snaps from Trey Henderson, from Sam Hubbard, from Cheetah, from Dax, from all these guys. So they should. And like I said, we are going to play 21 games. That's just go to the Super Bowl. So playing 21 football games, if you have a team that plays every freaking snap, you're going to be wore out by the end of the season. I hate to bring the Reds up, but just like the Reds are right now with their minor league guys, they've never played this long. They are flat wore out. And that's one reason I think they're playing bad. But that's what I think the Bengals can prevent this year because that happened last year. Trey Anderson was – him and Sam were spent in that AFC Championship game.
I will say I don't think the Battle's going to take over the job. Lou's whole thing last year is he has not, nor will he ever rotate safeties.
Right.
I mean, Dax Hill was a first round draft pick and he barely saw the field. I think that Battle's going to see the field more than Dax did just because last year their designated tight end coverage guy was Trey Flowers.
Right.
he's gone. This year, Dax is going to be the tight end covered, the defensive back covering tight ends. So Battle will be in Dax's spot, or, you know, they'll adjust accordingly, but Dax will be the one covering. They'll bring Battle in.
So do you see them moving Dax around? Do you see them moving Dax around? Like maybe down a DB sometimes, or?
I think only when they're facing the dynamic tight ends again. I mean, that's maybe week two when they're playing Baltimore. Obviously, when they play San Francisco and Kansas City, when they play Baltimore again, I can see those handful of games. Maybe Cleveland with Njoku, but I don't.
I just see him. You know, he's Ludini. He's the mad scientist. I just see him dialing something up.
He's going to do something that nobody expects.
As a
you know, DJ Reader, strong safety.
Yeah, yeah. And thinking forward, I think that, you know, obviously Mike Hilton probably, don't want to guess, but who knows what happens after this year with Mike Hilton. I think, does Dax Hill slide into that role? I don't know. Something similar. I do think he'll be a multiple use kind of guy.
Yeah, he's just versatile too much that or not too much, but he is versatile. And Lou likes those guys. He likes
absolutely
to do stuff. So that's where I don't know what he's going to do with them. That's just something I'm keeping an eye on this year. What Lou does, I think he's going to dial something up for Dax that people aren't going to be prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, he's the man.
How happy do you think he is? He didn't get the Cardinals job. I think he's ecstatic.
Yeah.
You mean having to debate between Joshua Dobbs and I can't remember who their other
Clayton Toon. Clayton, I need to hear like a tune.
Clayton Toon out of University of Houston. Yeah. Those are your guys because Kyler Murray's hurt and you cut
Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy, yeah. Like
breaking news, the Cardinals are trying to get the number one pick.
Yeah. Or sorry, that doesn't work because the Dolphins were the ones that were tanking for Tua. Now they ended up getting him in a roundabout way, but
because Tua was the number one guy until Burrow that year.
Yeah, Burrow ended up being the guy, and the Bengals, you know. But it's, you know, it's they're going to be a fun team to watch if you're playing them.
I the funny thing is I somebody yelled at Lou said, you know, we're happy you're the defense coordinator this year. I was down there. He said, me too. And I'm kind of thinking like, yeah, you're glad you didn't go to the Cardinals.
Yeah. Week five is going to be a bloodbath. The Bengals play the Cardinals.
Oh, Lou's going to dial some stuff up.
I don't think he needs to dial some stuff up. He's just going to take the week off.
It might be a shutout.
Yeah. I mean, you look at their, two deep on offense and defense, man, it's going to be played indoors. So it's, you know, you don't have, granted week five is still early enough, the weather isn't an issue here, but I mean, they're going to lose a lot of games by a lot of points. They're going to definitely go into challenge the Lions and the Browns as own. Well, actually, they can sit atop the standings because they can go 0-17. And one correction to you, Jeff, you said the Bengals are going to play 21 games. They're only playing 20 games because they're getting the first round bye.
That's okay. Yes, yes. Which we need to, and that comes to my other point where they got to get off to a good start this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Burrowhead. Yes, I still call it Burrowhead. I don't care. I want them to come to the jungle and play.
Exactly. Pat Mahomes hasn't had to play, therefore he hasn't had to win any road playoff games because AFC West sucks and those are like five to six guaranteed wins for him every goddamn year.
He's never played a road playoff game.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, I know you got to get out of here right now. You want to pimp your show a little bit before you boogie?
Yeah, guys, check it out every day, Monday through Friday, live at 5:30. I don't know if I'm doing today. I don't have a guest yet, but I'm heading down to practice. Going to see if Burrow is out there or not. I kind of think he's going to more practice next week. It's kind of my thought, but I'm going to go check it out, see if he's out there. But, yeah, check it out. It's on YouTube. It's called Sports with Strawberry Ice. It's a podcast. It's on BePod, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, pretty much where you get your podcast. And yeah, thanks for having me on, Joe. You've been on a couple of times. Greg, now that we're friends, I got to get you on sometime so we can talk some Bengals and have some fun. I am ready for the season. Bearcats play Thursday or play Saturday, so we got football. But Bengals in 2 weeks, yeah, baby. I'm so ready for football. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Football's here. Football.
Let's
go,
baby.
Good day, Jeff. And thanks for coming on, brother.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I mean, again, like there's Yeah, the Bengals tight ends are a weakness when you say, you know, there's, you look at all the position groups and there's not a lot to it, but they don't seem to give a shit. There's a reason they didn't draft anybody. There's a reason they really, you know, they only brought in Irv Smith. They don't care about their tight end depth. Tanner Hudson, I thought, looked great. He looked like a natural pass catcher. I haven't really dug in to see what, you know, what, how he looked blocking. I know his numbers were decent, but again, you're only talking a handful of snaps in games. I'm not there in practice. I don't know what his reputation was, before this year when, you know, he was with the Giants as well. I hope they bring him back on the practice squad. He's eligible to sign back with them. It would be great if they did, but I'm just not worried about it. It's because that's the one spot to where the Bengals have proved that they don't care. So if they don't care that they're weak there, I don't care.
I think you make a great point because they don't necessarily need a tight end, which is why I like the move the Bengals made for Irv Smith Jr. Low risk, high reward. If he's healthy, that position group can be an asset. If he's not healthy, then you just go move on and you don't need it as an asset because it's not going to be detrimental to what the Bengals do if they don't play with a tight end 80% of the time.
Yeah, and I thought it would have been a prudent move for them to put a waiver claim in on Zach Kuntz. I mean, that was the guy that I was on big time in the draft process. The guy has physically all the tools. He was a perfect 10.0 on the athletic score scale for someone who's 6'8", 250. I think he runs a 4.5, but they don't care. I mean, they've got Irv Smith, who he's probably the most natural pass catcher they've had at receivers or at tight end since Tyler Eifert, maybe.
That's what I was about to say.
Hayden Hurst was fine. I mean, he looked like a natural pass catcher, but he made CJ goddamn Uzama $30 million. CJ Uzama is not a starting tight end. He was only there because guys had gotten injured, and he's fine. He was useful catcher, useful blocking, but he is not a guy who should have been able to have achieved that kind of contract. And
I'm sure you're the same way. You probably love Uzama just as much as I do. I love
him. Oh yeah, absolutely. I liked him more for his being the heart and soul of the team. But in terms of production,
he's not a starting tight end, and I love the guy. Which means if we're saying this and we love him, it's true. But Irv Smith is definitely going to be the most, in my opinion, the most talented tight end Burrow's had in his short career.
And his whole thing is just, can you stay on the field? Mm-hmm. He's not an especially big tight end. I know he's a little bit on the shorter side. He's, 6'1". Let me I just had the roster up here. 6'2", 240. I mean, that's really short for a tight end. Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to do with him getting injured, but that also adds in, he's also a little more fluid coming in and out, running routes and everything. So I would love for him to be able to, play 15 games, 15 regular season games this year and make it to the playoffs. Even if you have to sit a couple games, but stay on the field. Anything that someone can bring that's unique to this offense, and they don't even need it. It's just another wrinkle. You can split that guy out wide, and who are you? If you split him out wide, you're going to have a linebacker, cover the boundary. You're going to put a safety on there and take your safety, out of the deep middle of the field and leave it open for Chase or for Higgins or Yoshi or whoever. Yeah, exactly.
Yoshi. Yeah,
exactly. Or, you're going to vacate the middle of the field for Tyler Boyd. You anything to cause matchups. And that's the versatility of this team.
With what he does and what they've done to the roster, it's like, every time, and I hate to say this, but it's like I look at the playoff football scenarios, and just like you said, it's all about matchups when you get to the playoffs not necessarily team against team, but individual against individual. And where's the weakness on the defense you're going against? Is it at the third corner? Is it at their tight end specialist? Is it at whatever? The Bengals have answers to all of those. So whatever their answer is of this is our weakness, okay, the Bengals can go now attack that. That's where I think he's most valuable to the Bengals long-term here.
I can't wait to see the lights come on for real. I mean, just they're running a lot more, at least in a handful of preseason games, they're running more runs out of RPO looks, running more from the shotgun. And that's when the running game took off. That's when they became the most efficient running game, even though they had the least amount of 10-plus yard carries in the NFL by far. Average team had almost twice as many. They were still the most efficient because they figured something out that how to use their personnel. Now they have better personnel. And Joe Mixon's another year longer in the tooth, but you're not running strictly from under center when everyone knows that's when you're going to run the ball. Or now they're utilizing more play action when they are under center, doing more RPOs, suck in that linebacker and, do a quick hitter over, to Boyd over the middle of the field or shape. Like, this team can do anything, whatever you're trying to do. They have an offensive answer, whether they can execute it. I mean, that's, even the best offenses, have bad games or, miss passes or, drop balls, whatever. But this team has an answer for anybody any defense is going to do to them. And I can't wait. I mean, we have, 11 more days. And like, I'm ready. I am absolutely chomping at the bit.
Oh, I'm stoked. I can't tell you the last time I was this excited. I mean, of course I was excited last year, but this year just has – there's something special kind of feeling. If they can start fast, I mean, I'm super excited.
Well, that's the thing. Like, last year was kind of unfinished business. They had the team – like, 2021, they – I don't want to say they lucked into the Super Bowl, but a lot of weird fluky stuff happened. And, like, they weren't as good of a team as, the other teams. They weren't as good of a team as the Chiefs. They beat them twice, but Chiefs were a better team. Last year, I think the Bengals were the better team, but injury, they had bad injury luck. First two games, was Burrow coming back from his appendectomy, so he wasn't right. The offensive line hadn't gelled. This year, not that there's – and well, shoot, even the Halloween game, the egg that they laid at Cleveland, their coach died that morning, and they found out about that. So that's, again, how much of that stinker, could be explained away by that. So it's – there's the expectations, I think, have never been higher, rightfully so. And I'm ready to get going, get started off against the Browns, kick the crap out of that predatory piece of shit, Deshaun Watson. Again, I love their running back. I love their offensive line, but man, be happy to put the smack down on that team. Make Watson have to throw the ball 45 times in the heat and while he's absolutely running for his life. Oh, can't wait.
I like playing them. I like playing them early too. I like that we get them out of the way week one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're always, whatever reason, Myles Garrett's an absolute damn monster. Like, that's part of the reason why, Bengals have struggled with him. But get them, at least get that first game out of the way. And again, step one, they can't afford to go 3-3 in the division like they did last year. And two division games to start the season off, two winnable games. Let's freaking go.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see, again, we still have, rosters are going to be finalized within the next handful of days while guys are still going through waivers and, late drops and stuff like that. Do you think they're going to pick anyone else up? I know we talked about, they picked up Will Greer to the practice squad. He might at one point overcome, Jake Browning to be the backup. Do you see them getting another, getting a veteran quarterback like Colt McCoy or something, or?
I don't. I really, to me, I really see the Bengals, especially now with Will Greer. I see the Bengals just kind of standing pat. If something crazy were to happen and somebody falls in their lap at tight end, maybe. But I really don't see a whole lot of changes coming. I think the Bengals feel really good about this roster. I think they feel really good about the guys they have, and I think they should. And I don't think that looking around is not that they're not going to do it. Of course, they're always going to have their eyes open, but I don't think that they are necessarily looking for certain produce. They're not going to the grocery store saying, I need vegetables, I need fruits, they're just kind of going to the grocery store seeing if anything's that's really good is on sale. I don't think they need anything.
Yeah. And there's still guys that are going to be hitting the waiver wires when the guys that were just claimed off the waiver wires, the guys whose jobs they're taking, be curious to see who gets set free. Again, I've been saying this since free agency and the draft, I wouldn't be surprised if they looked tight end. I Don't expect it, but I can also see them looking running back because, again, there's a lot of unknown after Mixon. A lot of ability, but a lot of unknown. And we know how much they like having, you know, some, you know, bit of, I don't want to say certainty, but
yeah,
they're not a team that likes to be surprised by what happens when someone gets put in there. So, outside of that, I mean, that pretty much wraps up this week. I mean, we're going to have our, we're going to have a big preview, season preview episode next week. Again, by the time this comes out, it'll be 9 days until we are live and in person at the stretch. Again, I know we don't have a huge reach, but anybody who has any interest in go, tell your buddy, bring a friend. Same thing they say for the gun and knife shows at the convention centers. Tell your buddy, bring a friend. So it'll be awesome. It'll be awesome to see people down there. We'll have a couple pops, go over to the Reds game afterward. That seems a lot less exciting than it did a couple weeks ago, but
yeah, but that's okay.
It's yeah, have fun and hang out more than anything else. That's the most important part. Greg, any final parting shots, any final parting words before we boogie out of here for the week?
Who day, baby? Who day?
Okay, it is almost time. I can smell it. Everyone have a good week. We'll talk to you all later.
JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.